Opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Live and direct from my subterranean lair. My name is Ra, and I'm here to awaken the dormant particles that are spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life. It's Spiral Radio, where each and every week we unveil the different shades of you and the different shades of me until we all vibrate the same frequency. I want to welcome everybody to another episode. It's our 50th episode of Spiral Radio. And I want to thank everybody out there for making it almost a year of nonstop episodes every Friday. I want to thank my producer, Sarge, as well for being by me. Almost, we did one show without him. I did one show with Eric B., who's the producer, who's the owner of Para-X. And then ever since then, after that first show, Sarge has been with me. So we hope we get another 50 more. And tonight, I'm your guest, you know. You guys got me tonight, and I'm continuing my Fae Chronicles. And the Fae Chronicles basically is a wide variety of topics that are entwined with these Fae Chronicles. And they go into the Inner Earth, and they go with the Naga Files and all my research and experiences throughout my lifetime has made me catch a little glimpse here and there of what is outside of our visible light spectrum. And I really feel that we are only seeing about 3 or 4, maybe 5% of what's really there. And, you know, between spaces that separate material reality from non-material reality is the realms of the Fae. And there can be many entities that I at least classify under the category of the Fae. And they all basically feed on energy, some good and some bad, but they all feed. And these Fae can be tricksters. And they were here at the beginning of time. They are the oldest spirits and a normal condition of this planet. We were seated here. We were put here. They have always been here. So, in a way, this physical reality was made as some kind of experiment, I feel. And time doesn't exist in these Fae realms like they exist on our physical plane. And you see, if you go to themysticalspiral.com or my Podomatic and download the last time I did a Fae Chronicle, which is a few weeks ago, the second segment of that episode, I talk of my encounter that I had, which basically I classify as a Fae encounter, where I was in an alternate dimension and I stepped into some kind of portal when I was in Long Beach, California, in a certain park. And I really recommend you go back and listen to that so you can get up to speed with what happened to me in that encounter. And I'm going to pick up where I left off last time. And you see, I talked how when I walked into this portal type thing and I saw these little beings and these little people, and they were showing me things in this card, how I like basically took off most of my clothes before I stepped into it, and I was just in my shorts. Sometimes when people go missing, in certain missing disappearance cases, a lot of times there will be no trace of these people. If you go and research a researcher, and I think he's a private detective as well, David Politis, he has a popular documentary called Missing 411. And I'm going to try to get him on Spiral Radio soon, too, as well. He talks about how people just disappear in these parks or in the woods, a lot of times in national parks, where there's no trace of them. And families and search parties will be looking for these victims for days and weeks, combing the area, no trace to be found, you know, and then all of a sudden, a month or two later, in a place that they've looked over and over again, they will find the clothing of the missing person. Sometimes in a pile, like all bunched up on each other in a pile, like they just fell out of their clothes. And other times, the clothes will be folded neatly sitting there in a spot that was looked at over and over again. And you see, when I hear this, it sparks something in my mind. And it's things that I've researched and encountered myself, is this is a typical characteristic of a Fae encounter. And these Fae, they don't operate and feed the way we feed. You see, we consume nutrients and food and different things physically to stay alive, right? So these Fae entities, they consume energy, emotion, feelings, love, pain, hurt, joy, all of this is what they feed on. So when they all of a sudden neatly put back the clothes of this missing person, it keeps alive the energy of that event. It keeps alive the misery of the people that are the loved ones of this people. You see, they feed on this, and these people can be trapped in an alternate dimension. You see, every park, every forest, they all have entrances to these Fae realms. Not only that, but every forest, everything you see out in nature, anywhere, has access to the genetic memory of this planet, or what Hindus call the Akashic Records. And if you learn how to tap into it in your consciousness, there is a living encyclopedia library that is infinitely endless available to your consciousness to tap into. It's sort of like a holographic, living, breathing library that's in the forest, it's in the air, it's in the rocks, it's in everything, and it's able to be tapped into if we are able to drop that ego, left side, brain, mind, and tap into the consciousness of the genetic memory of us and our planet and who we are. Anything that's ever been said and done and experienced in life is all recorded in the genetic memory of our planet. And these Fae protect that. These entities protect access to that. And if someone is getting close to tapping into certain information that's encoded within plants and in stones and in the forest and the trees and everything that you see, and these entities do not want you to have access to it, then they will trick you and divert you off your spiritual course. And they feed off emotions. So when a person goes missing in one of these alternate dimensions in the woods and their loved ones are looking for them, they will keep alive that misery. And they'll be tricksters. That's why they'll put the clothes there a few weeks later to keep alive the hope that they're going to find that person, keep alive the pain. And, you know, they're tricksters like this, and they'll play with those items. And when I went missing for a day and a half in Long Beach, when I stepped into that portal, like I talked about in my previous show, I had taken off most of my clothes before I stepped into it. I was only in my basketball shorts. I had taken off my pants, my shoes, my shirt, all of that. And those items were gone. And then later on, much later on, like weeks later, I saw my pants from that day on the park bench in that park way later, you know. And I haven't really talked about this before, but, you know, I remember seeing the pants, and I remember getting this intuitive thought that if I touch those pants, that this whole, you know, thing may start over again, what happened to me. And I felt like they were evil now, like those pants. And I never looked. I saw them there, and I felt the evil enchantment encoded within it. And I had to look away. That's why when I hear of David Politis, that researcher, talking about how these young kids have gone missing in national parks where they're looking for them endlessly for weeks on end, and they can't find anything. And then in that same spot that they looked, they'll find clothes neatly folded there. You know, it immediately makes me think of these fae and how they are tricksters like that and how they feed. And, you know, they divert us off our course of our spiritual blueprint. You see, when we're born, there is basically like a spiritual holographic blueprint laid out for us on infinite timelines. You see, there are infinite versions of you and me and everybody you see out there. And it's a matter of who or what or how you get polarized towards one of those paths. So certain life events that take place, certain things that happen to you, certain choices you make will make you get polarized towards one of these timelines and spiritual paths that are laid out for you the moment you're born. And, you know, we have – none of us are here by mistake. Let's put it that way, that we're all here for a reason. I truly believe that. And there is like a spiritual evolution that's tied into your spirit form and who you are spiritually. You know, we're not – the purpose of life isn't for us to make $1 million or to, you know, get a lot of money and do this like a lot of people think. The purpose of life is to see. And that S-E-E stands for to spiritually, eternally evolve. And you see, if we don't spiritually evolve and follow one of these spiritual blueprints that we have laid out for us, then we will be sort of renewed and recycled afterwards, and we will return to somehow get on that spiritual journey that we were meant for. And these fae, some are entities that are out to amplify good energy, and some are there to feed on misery and pain. And some of them will divert you off your spiritual course, is what I'm saying. A lot of people, when they think of fairies or fae, they think it's all benevolent and hunky-dory. And, you know, there are some that are benevolent entities, and there are some that are malevolent. But let me tell you this. There is always an undertone and price. If they, you see, they're neither good nor bad. They just are. Like I said, they've been here. They are the oldest spirits known to this world. We are new to this planet. They have always been to this planet. And you see, when we say, a lot of people have said they have had contact with fae, and that these fae or fairies have helped them in their garden or helped them do certain things here and there. And you see, that's a good thing, right? That's a positive thing. You see, but there are agendas and undertones to this. If you don't always pay respect to these fae and always put out little offerings and little statues and little blessings and pay honor to them, if you start to forget about the favors that they did for you and you start to neglect certain things that you've always did to honor these fae that once helped you, then they will catch resentments and they will want to see you in misery and pain, and they will start to hurt your food supply or damage your crops or start to make you lose your keys or lose certain items and having you run around in circles and things like that. See, they are tricksters like that. They will play with you. And throughout the course of this hour, I will also talk about certain stories that I've dug up from Etruscan lore that have all types of fairy. You know, most of my family lore and history comes from the Etruscans and the Tuscany area of Italy, and they got most of their mythology and god worship and goddess worship and spells and all of this stuff from the Persians. And the Persians say they got it from a mysterious star people that they called the Watchers or the Eyes of the Night or the star gods. And they truly saw them as, you know, the stars in the sky watching over us, you know, and that's why they call them the Eyes of the Night or the Watchers or, you know, the fallen angels. And these beings can also be classified as the Draco as well. They basically genetically manipulated our species at one point in time. And if you go into the Book of Enoch, you can find proof of this. I mean, they're talking about how these fallen angels came down on Mount Hermon, 200 of them, and they basically did some kind of genetic experiment and created a race of beings, you know, and they call them the Nephilim. And these Nephilim were bloodthirsty giants. And there's many different beliefs about that story, and I don't want to go down that whole rabbit hole right now, but I've done other episodes about that. And you know, the giants, whether you want to call them Nephilim or whatever, they are part of our past. And there may be some within the earth still being kept in a cryogenic stasis. And I've talked about it on prior episodes. So if you want to check out one of my old episodes on that or my YouTube, you can check that out. But you see, this ties in to what I'm saying with the Akashic records and the genetic memory of our planet, because these entities do guard this. And I feel that when these Orion wars or heavenly wars or whatever you want to call cosmic wars, you know, the Bible basically is a war over DNA, over genetics. It always has been about that and always will be about that. It's a story about a war over genetics. And it's the ancient war of all time. It's what we're still going through to this day. And these Draco or serpent type beings who are talked about in the Bible as well, you could call them the Seraphim or the Watchers or the Fallen Angels or the Draco. You know, these beings are genetic manipulators and hunted down various species all over the galaxy and the cosmos for their DNA. And some of these beings, like the Nordics and Aryans and the felines, they took their shelter within inner Earth of Gaia or Terra or Earth, what we call Earth. And they formed an inner tube of portals and time gates within our Earth, where there are alternate dimensions and timelines and realms within a inner Earth entrances, that there's all entrances all over our planet. And this little tube of portals and time gates is, they took it within the Earth to stay away from the surface world. And then these beings, these Dracos, show up on this planet, you know, trying to get within this inner Earth, and they create this physical realm on the surface world, you know, and start to genetically alter primates and add DNA to them that they've collected hunting down all these species. And then we have this human being, you know, this human being that's finely tuned and genetically altered, so we have abilities to tap in to the lower and the higher realm without technology. You see, these Fey, they are masters, these entities that are basically beings of antimatter that can push themselves into physical matter for short periods of time and appear on this physical realm. They are beings of antimatter that have technology that seems so fantastic to us. It's magic, you know, and that's why we see it as magic. And basically, it's all just technology. It's astral technology, spirit technology, soul technology, whatever you want to label it. It's a form of technology. And even the Fey wand that you see is a form of technology. You see, they always are pictured with this wand. And this wand, the stick part of the wand is the power device. And that glowing star on top of the wand is actually a septagram. And it's a septagram that contains the light of an actual star that you see in the sky, an infinite light. And this is a technology that can open portals to other dimensions. And it seems like magic. Just like if we took our iPhone back even 50 years ago, they would think we had a magic wand in our hand, you know? And this is magic to us when we see it, certain things like that. And these beings use their astral technology to travel these realms and see, we are this beautiful creation that we can travel these realms in our consciousness without using outside technology. And they know this, and they feed on us. They feed on our emotions, and they keep alive some of our misery and our pain so they can feed on it. And in the afterlife, when you're going through your trip into what we call the underworld, or when you're on your way to the Summerland or to the lunar realms, you encounter certain entities that try to divert you off your course. These can be classified as the Fey also. If you look into the Tibetan Book of the Dead and the Bardo realms, they talk about how different entities will arise and lure you to different realms with certain colored lights. We touched on this last week with Peter Moon. And you see, these entities will try to lure you away from the realms that will put you towards your spiritual ascension. And there are other entities as well that are basically keeping records and keeping almost like keeping track of certain events and certain entities and people. And they are what we call the Capinera, or what you would call the Men in Black. And these are an interdimensional species. I mean, there may be also government agents that look like these as well. And there are maybe copycat entities that look like this. There may be certain entities that look like this. But one of these beings are called basically the Capinera, or the Black Hats, because they are timekeepers and time jumpers, and they can jump through dimensions and through alternate timelines within our what we call Inner Earth, or Agartha, or what some call Shambhala. This inner tube that's filled with portals and time gates, like I discussed, is traveled by these Capinera, and they travel through all these infinite timelines, and they alter timelines in a way. They go back in time to insert little things like a book or the Dead Sea Scrolls, or certain things, certain events. Like, I believe that they even buried and had something to do with Göbekli Tepe, and giants were involved as well with this, and it was some kind of technology, this Göbekli Tepe. And if you've never heard of it, it's basically one of the oldest monuments that you've never heard of in the world. And I believe it's in Turkey, and only like 10% has been uncovered so far. And there's these T-shaped monuments inside of these circled, you know, sort of like Stonehenges, these circled standing stones that are megalithic. I mean, the biggest of cranes would tip trying to pick up these rocks. And they're formed in these T-shapes with animals that don't exist today on them. Definitely some kind of diamond drill bit had to be used to make these stones and these carvings. So it's almost for sure high technology was involved, and it was like 30,000 years ago. So I believe these Capinera, these time jumpers, were involved with Göbekli Tepe as well. And these time gates that are within Agartha, I feel no one can enter this without being either invited or lured or welcomed. It's sort of like a defense mechanism. And like I said, these Draco or fallen angels, when they were chasing the Aryans and the Nordics that ended up within Earth, and some of the felines and all these races, where they took shelter within the Earth to stay hidden, and they set up barriers and time gates and portal networks around them so no one can penetrate. And if they tried to, they would end up on alternate timelines and alternate dimensions, stuck in a void behind a veil. And that's what happens sometimes in these woods and these portals that people end up slipping into, like I did. And when a person goes missing in a national park, it's not always that he committed suicide or that he fell off a cliff or that animals got to him. Sometimes I feel on rare occasions they slip into these alternate dimensions. And sometimes they might even hear people calling them. They might hear them calling their name, and they might even be able to see them. And it might look like they're in the same woods, but they're in a reflection of the physical realm. You see, these Fey realms will have light and stars above them like our realm, but it's a reflection of the physical realm, and you're stuck behind this veil, and they can't hear you. You'll be calling out to your family members that you're looking at, looking for you, and they can't hear you, and you're trapped where time is passing, you know, on Earth at a rapid pace, and you're stuck where there's no past, present, future. There's just now. Forever. And some people maybe never make it out of this. And when these Fae let someone slip into these alternate dimensions, it's because they either were very psychically in tune and were about to tap into some kind of Akashic holographic encyclopedia, and they were about to receive some kind of information that these entities did not want them to receive. Or maybe they were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. But I really don't feel like it's the latter. I really feel like that when someone goes missing in one of these alternate dimensions, it's for a reason. And it's most likely for these entities to feed on the psychic energy and the emotion and the fear and the pain and everything that gets wrapped into someone going missing. And when we come back from break, I'm going to go way more deeper into the Fae Chronicles. And you are with host Rock Castaldo, and we are listening to the Para-X Radio Network, and this is the Mystical Spiral Radio. And this song coming up is called Sun Grip from my old band Nocturnal Awareness. And you have a nice peaceful evening, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes. Get a glass of wine, chill out, and listen to the music, and like always, spiral out.
Thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
And we are back. And that song was called Sun Grip by Nocturnal Awareness, a band that I was in until about 2005. I was the singer and guitarist. And this is the Fae Chronicles. And we are underneath a beautiful crescent moon. And I believe it is in Libra. And we have a really special eclipse coming up that's only visible in our United States in August. And I feel it's going to be a real shift in consciousness that's going to be upon us. And the age of Aquarius is a shift back into a spiritual consciousness. And it's the first step in a long, long time we're going to take to shift completely. But it's going to be a long, hard road. But we all are shifting in consciousness and sort of awakening as a species slowly. And we need to just all get together and help awaken what's inside of us just laying dormant. And these fake chronicles are really important because they're uncovering what's there that we can't see, you know, that's outside of our visible light spectrum. And what I wanted to talk about now are what they call the hollow forest portals. And I've encountered some of these as well. And basically, if you look on ParaX Radio's Facebook page, you'll see a photo I posted of me in the woods near Ledgeworth Village in Rockland County, New York, what they call the Marian Shrine. It's a little forest there, and I found a fae portal. And if you see in the hollow of certain trees, there'll be an access or entranceway to some of these alternate dimensions. And if you're able to sort of invoke it or get lured or enchanted to it for a certain reason, certain people get chosen, and you could end up accessing this portal and disappearing, basically. And they'll sort of enchant somebody in the woods to get drawn towards this tree. And they'll even set up certain things to lure you there, and certain items and certain scents. And you'll smell a certain aroma of the past or something, and they'll lure you towards this tree. And at the center of every forest is the hollow. And the hollow is a place where material reality is separated from non-material reality. And there's basically every wooded place has a center point. And people will try to search for this and search for this, and they'll never be able to find it. It's the one who stumbles on it because he was lured to it, or finds it in some hidden magical way. Sometimes someone that's filled with a lot of misery and a lot of pain and goes off into the woods to be alone, these entities will sense this, and they will smell your holographic spirit scent. We all have a scent of our spirit form, who we are in dream time, who we are as a soul or a spirit. That's our true person. And in our dream time or our spirit form, when our souls leave our body, even if we are awake and our souls leave our body in an out-of-body experience, that is our spirit form. And a lot of times our spirit form will look a lot younger than our actual appearance. And sometimes we'll even be wearing certain clothes in our spirit form that happened in a certain life event that were pleasurable for us at certain times. And your spirit form sometimes will look slightly different than your actual physical body. But when we leave our bodies, and that's our spiritual form. So we all have some kind of what I call fingerprint of sleep. Something that we leave a trace or a fingerprint of who we are in the soul time. And if you become experienced in astral traveling and holographic healing, and you can find people in spirit form in astral travels. And I'm able to find certain people that leave certain scents of themselves. And once I find out their little signature of who they are, their little symbol of them, you see, it's all spoken in symbols. And it's a sort of astral technology, a soul technology. Just like when we use the computer and say you're on Microsoft Excel to make a spreadsheet, right? You have to enter in certain codes and certain formulas to manifest certain abilities and certain, say you want to take an inventory of something and you're making a spreadsheet to calculate certain things, and for certain things to arise, you have to enter in certain formulas. Well, it's sort of like that in your spirit form or in the astral realms. Certain symbols are used, certain sigils or symbols or things like that are displayed in your consciousness and thought about holographically, and they appear. And when you use these certain symbols, both in the physical plane and on your spirit plane, things manifest and things arise and appear and thought forms appear. And it's just like in a computer. When you enter in things, things get accomplished. And in your biological computer, in your mind, in your psyche, it's the same way. In these holographic realms that we can have access to, it's the same way. You talk through symbols and codes and sacred geometries. And this is sort of the technology that the Fae use as well. And when there's certain people, like I said, that are in turmoil or misery, and when the Fae sense this, they will appear to these people and they will want to now fill them with joy, and they'll approach them with a contract, some sort of offering, and they'll appear sometimes in a human form as well, appearing as a beautiful man or a beautiful woman or something like that. And they'll say, you know, how, oh my God, you're so down on your luck and you're filled with misery. Well, I can make you a king in another land, in a faraway land. Wouldn't you want to be a king with a lot of gold and a lot of women and whatever? And of course, most likely that person will want to be a king. Especially if they've been a loser all their life and they're down on themselves and they're a loner, and this is, they would want to be a king, right? You would think so. So these Fae will transport this person to an alternate dimension, well, where they will become a king, but there will always be a price. There will be some kind of clause, some kind of hidden undertone to this, where when the person gets to that realm, they'll most likely have to go through some kind of battle or some kind of turmoil to accomplish that, or some kind of trickery to accomplish that deal that the entity offered them as well. And I have a few stories that I have, too, that I'm going to share with you guys in a moment. But, you know, this Hallow portal, like I've said, you can find them in certain forests that – let me rephrase that. You can't find them in the forest when you go looking for them. You know, let me stress that. It's – you'll find them when it's time. And if you get lured towards this, I would stay far, far away, because nothing good will most likely come of it. And recently, when I took a picture of one of them, I and the person that I was with was totally enchanted towards this tree and was lured towards it. And, you know, I was smart enough to recognize this and get us away from it and not want to touch it, but they were luring us to it, and they all, you know, were almost setting up like a trail of food, basically, in a way, and like led us right to it, you know. And it was seductive and subtle, but I recognized it. And, you know, there's many legends associated with the Hallow tree portal that you can find, you know, that's in the center of every park and forest. And there's one tale that's associated with the Pleiades and the Pleiades, and how it's guarded by the Seven Sisters, who are basically these magical beings, and they are symbolized by the Pleiades. And the stars of the Pleiades indicate rebirth and life and death and portals and gateways. And this is where life gets born, within the Seven Sisters. And these gateways move into position like a floating island. And when the Pleiades are closest to us on November Eve, this is when the gateway opens for spirits of the dead to walk again in this mortal world. And they say that on May Eve, when it's the farthest from the horizon, this gateway opens again. And basically, the earth opens the above the earth for these reincarnating spirits to descend into the material realm. And according to this legend, at these times, the hollow tree portal shimmers and can be seen as light in the distance. And when the hollow shines, the old ones emerge from the oak and boulder and move about freely. And I find this really fascinating. And like I said, these tree portals that you can find in the forests, I would stay far away if you ever come up on one of these, and really try to stay away from any entities that may arise. I mean, if you go back in Etruscan lore, and I wanted to get into my Benedante lineage as well, and certain things about that, and certain how that ties into the Fey realm, but we can always get to that in another Fey chronicle. And, you know, next week we have Michelle Walling on my show as well. And then after that, the following week on August 11th, I'll be having – it's going to be my one-year anniversary, my 52nd Friday in a row. And I'll be having who I had on my first show, my good dear friend Lori Bruno, who's just an amazing person. And she's going to be on our show to discuss how in 1960 she worked for NASA – and was there when, you know, when they were doing some heavy moon research. And she is also the ancestor of Giordano Bruno. And he was burned in 1600 by fire. He was killed by fire by the Vatican for saying there's a multiverse, you know, that there's more than one world, and that, you know, there's a plurality of worlds, and he was burned alive for it. And then in the year 2000, they issued her an apology and sent her a letter apologizing for killing her ancestor 400 years later, you know. So she'll be there to talk about this and to talk about certain other things that I feel are really important. And she's one of the most important people in the world to me as well. She's like family to me, and I really love Lori. And she has a great store in Salem, Massachusetts called Magica. And Magica means the soul of the Magi. It's the Magi and Ka, Magica. It's M-A-G-I-K-A. So that's the soul of the Magi. And that's also part of the reason why I call my YouTube Exploring the Ka. I dug up a couple of tales of Fey encounters from family literature and Strega literature, Etruscan literature. And one of them is from this entity or fairy or fae that they call Vira. And a lot of these entities, even the feline beings that I've had astral visits from, their last name ends in ah, the ah sound, like Turana or Vira, or something to that effect. That ah sound, somehow the vibration of it resonates some sort of way, and I don't know how to describe it any better than that. It's some kind of, the reason why their names a lot of times end in that is is the vibration of that ah sound. And Vira, V-I-R-A, is an old Etruscan legend of this fae or fairy called Vira. And I found the following account of the story of Vira. Vira is a fairy, or a fata, which means of the fate. And in her regular life, she became a spirit who by day and night is always in the forest. And when she sees any handsome young man busy either cutting wood or making charcoal, or if he pleases her in any way and she likes him and thinks he's handsome or whatever, she tends to appear to him in the form of a very beautiful girl, or da farni a bagliare, you know, that means a beautiful, very beautiful girl. And she is trying to basically dazzle him and hoping that he finds her enchanting and sexy. And then once he sees her and he counts her, all of a sudden he finds that his work is all done in his hand. And either she'll have all his work done for him right before his eyes, you know, like a whole day's work will be done for him, or she'll show him some kind of treasure. And one day, she found a handsome youth who was in great sorrow because he was very poor and could not provide for his family. And he began to cut wood, and yet he wept while doing so because he could not bring nothing home to his mother. And then Vira appeared to him, and then Vira said to him, "Good youth, don't be in despair, for there's a small place near Benevento where dwells a king who has a daughter fair, and who waits for the seven-headed ogre who will devour her. But her father there hopes that someone of long may slay him and bring the ogre's head unto him. And he who will do this may wed the princess. Now this ogre has been slain by Signore Slaniani." This guy slayed this ogre. This guy, Signor Slaniani, he slayed this ogre. So now he would expect to claim this woman, you know, this princess. And so this guy who actually slayed him, he carries the head to the king and claims the hand of the king's daughter. But that is reserved for him, right? So for when the heads were put on a wagon to be carried to the king, this fae took those heads and took out the seven tongues. And so this fae tells this young man, "I'm going to give you these tongues, so when the king, you know, go to the king and tell him that, you know, you have these tongues, and that surely the man with the tongues would be the one who actually killed the ogre, you know." So this fae took those tongues when no one was looking from the heads. So this other guy who really killed the ogre, he went to the king, you know, and he told the king, you know, I killed this ogre, you know, I want to claim your princess." So all of a sudden, this other gentleman shows up. And this other gentleman shows up and says, "You know, I've come to claim the princess, for I'm the one who've killed the ogre, you know." And so then the king says, "Well, this guy says he kills him." And so this guy says, "Well, I have the tongues right here." So then the Signor Slaniani, who actually killed the ogre, stands up and says, "Well, there's no way those could be the tongues of the ogre, because they never left my sight." So he says, "Let me get the heads off my wagon, and I'll prove to you that I have the tongues in them, you know." So this guy goes and gets the heads off the wagon, and he sees that there are no tongues in the head, you know. And this young man ends up getting the woman, the princess, as his wife, and Signor Slaniani ends up in prison and in misery and in pain for the rest of his life. So the fae can feed off of his misery and his pain. And now the fae has also formed a contract and claimed rights to the soul of this man they did a favor for. And there is always a price. And you see, there's also these beings called the Red Caps in Etruscan lore. And when mysterious noises and knocks or rummaging sounds are heard in your room by night, it's said, and you're sure it may be by unearthly visitors, you know, prepare, you could, it's said that you could prepare for them by putting a lighted lamp in the room and covering it over with an earthen pot, but very carefully, so that not a gleam can be seen. And then when you hear a noise in the room, uncover the light as quickly as possible. And if goblins are there, catch the cap from one of them and say, I have taken the cap away and you can no longer be in here, or something to that effect. And it's usually a red cap. And, you know, these spirits called the Red Caps are said to be these tricksters that feed on people in their sleep. And there's an ancient description of these fae, and they're usually pictured in Etruscan art as wearing a red conical cap like a cone, a mantle of green cloth with like inlaid with like wild flowers, green pantaloons, buttoned with silk and silver, and they carry quivers of arrows and bows made of the ribs of a man, and their arrows are made of bog rib reed tipped with white flints and dipped in the dew of hemlock, and they are magical arrows. And these Red Caps, they travel from one realm to another, and they can also be seen as gnomes, or some people call them puckwudgies, or, you know, there's a lot of entities that are classified under this, you know, this category, and they're tricksters. And, you know, I wouldn't recommend any contact with these entities, and to stay well away from the hollow and these hollow portals. They may enchant you and you may feel drawn to them, but stay away. And these fae have been here from the beginning of time, and they will always be here, you know. So just know that most likely contact with entities will lead to some sort of price to be paid in the long run. And I'm not saying all contact is bad. There's some good contact, but in most cases, there's some kind of negative undertone or some kind of ulterior motive or something, you know, involved with it. And the next time I have a Fae Chronicle, which is probably going to be in a month from now, I want to talk about the realm of Lunea. And basically the realm of Lunea is in the lunar realm that we go towards in the afterlife. And it's seen in the endless Black Sea, and was an island in the city of the dead, which was known as Morphos. And this city sat on the shore and was seen by all who approached it from the sea. And Morphos was surrounded by these woods and meadows, which grew poppies and mandrakes, which is earth, you know. And in the center of this earth, this island that we live on, stood a mountain with a cave in it near its top. And this cave opened into the cavern of the crossroads. And on the earth, at the sacred crossroads, stood the great white birch, and the great white birch hidden realm portal. And this white tree, known as the white tree of Lunea, is the realm of Lunea. And I will get to it on the next Fae Chronicle. And thank you for joining me. Like always, I want to thank Para X Radio. I want to thank my producer, Sarge, the man behind the controls. And I want to thank everybody out in the chat room for participating. You guys are great. And the new chat room is amazing. Once everybody gets acquainted with it, trust me, you're going to love it. It's so much better. It's amazing new site. I want to thank everybody out there for listening again. Have a nice, safe night. Enjoy. And spiral out. That's right. Say it with me, everybody. Spiral out.